So we're in this series on becoming mature, taking real practical steps to treat each other like Jesus wants us to treat each other as a church. But I got to kind of pull us aside. If this is your first week at Maywood, you get to kind of eavesdrop in on like a family meeting. I've got this picture of kind of a coach pulling a hockey team aside and being like, hey, let's talk about something. And there's this hard thing I've had leading Maywood of God has blessed us. Something we can never take for granted is how many testimonies there are here of like God doing incredible things in people's lives and God changing people's lives. And I know that Ephesians stuff we're always talking about like God has gifted us and wants to use us. Like I know Jesus has called us to that, right? But I've also led Maywood long enough that like I've been overseeing stuff while we've put people on stages or put them in leadership roles or different things. And then like had crazy stuff happen, you know, of then somebody's dealing meth or sleeping with somebody that only has a couple weeks of sobriety and making a mess for that person or stuff that maybe isn't such a scandalous thing normally in church, but just Jesus looks at it, you know, whether it's bitterness or greed or whatever, right? And from senior pastor on down, like all we got is sinners to pick from, right? Like, you know, like we don't have any of these people. We can be like, oh, well, we know this person will never mess up, right? Like all of us, right? Fall short. And so here's the thing I just needed to get super clear with us is like, there's been times where I get hesitant about where do we put a microphone or where do we put a leader because I worry that I'm telling all of you guys, trust this person. And the truth is like, Jesus is the only one of us that we can truly just come to of like, I trust you. And if I don't understand, it's anybody else, like it's got to come beneath Jesus, right? I mean, like, obviously, if somebody that used to do something, like, is trying to sell you meth, like, don't listen to them, obviously. Like, that goes without saying, right? But, like, because we could be scared and say, like, oh, let's just not pass around the microphone as much or something. Which there's nothing causing me to bring this up today. Like, there's no, like, oh, man, this thing happened 3 months ago or something. There's no particular person in mind. I had Justin speak purposely so it wouldn't be like, oh, Jake's really trying to warn us off of, you know, whatever. There's no particular scandal, but what I noticed in myself is I got hesitant to share as much as I should all these different spots or to put people in spots, right? And it's holding us back. So I just needed to be frank of like, we're all sinners, the leaders of Maywood, all on down, and we're going to keep trying to put the spotlight on Jesus, right? But like, we got to come into this knowing like, we all need Jesus' help. We're going to give testimonies. We're going to talk and teach and stuff. And we got to talk about problems when they come up. We got to hold each other to Jesus' standard together. But we can't expect people to be perfect forever because they're on a stage or something, right? Like we got to work on messes as they come up and fix them as they come up, right? So some of you are like, I already knew all this, Jake. Well, like I needed to get it off my chest so I could lead better, if that makes sense. Like it's making me hesitant, not just saying it. So thank you. Like, almost like a commercial break, but thank you for letting me do that. Yeah. So here's what we're going to get into today, though, is we're going to get right to our verse because what we got to get to is the Lord's Supper. It's real important. So I want to hit you guys with some stuff first, though. We're in Ephesians chapter 4, ending of chapter 4. We're going to get into chapter 5 starting next week. Just a single sentence, but then we're going to draw it out. We're going to look at some other places in the Bible. So here's what it says. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Again, this is talking about a church of people. Forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. Be kind, compassionate, forgive. These are commands. These are not like a when you feel like it, right? Saturday afternoon, but not Monday morning or something like that. It's not like that. It's like all the time we're supposed to do this, right? That just as in Christ, God forgave you. We're going to talk about God's forgiveness of us. Colossians 3 talks about it in real similar language, but kind of draws it out a little more. The kind of compassionate piece is really important, but I want to zero us in on the forgiveness part, okay? And Some of you that have worked the 12 steps, like there's a lot of healthy stuff in there about making amends with people. One of the principles there is like you don't push it so far if it's going to hurt somebody, right? So we got to have some wisdom in how do we go about reconciling stuff. But as a Christian, like we're not allowed to not forgive. We're going to dig into some passages on that. But right out of the gate, no matter what somebody has done, you're not allowed to hold that in your heart and say, like, I have a right to hate that person or to hold a grudge against that person. I'm not saying there shouldn't be any boundaries or safety protocols or whatever, but the inside condition needs to be, I want good for that person. I want them to be connected with God. I want them to have good things. Now, we all wrestle with this, myself included, right? Like, I'm not just walking around always feeling the right way about everybody else, right? We got to wrestle with that sometimes, right? But the reason we're given is that just because God forgave us, we're given that reason. But I want to talk to you about something that Dietrich Bonhoeffer talked about. We're going to read this quote in a minute, but hold off on the quote. So Bonhoeffer is the same guy I was quoting last week to you, and he's got just a few pages in this little book, Life Together, that he says the ministry of meekness. To be meek is to value other people above yourself. It's like the most like simple definition I could give, right? It's gentle, humble sort of a way to be. And what Bonhoeffer says is that when it comes to sin, we need to have a meek attitude, be pretty hard on ourselves and pretty easy on everybody else. And he gets it from Paul. When Paul's writing a letter to Timothy, Paul describes himself as, he says, here's a trustworthy saying, is that I'm the worst of sinners. And Bonhoeffer says, you know, everybody should probably view themselves that way. Before you like, wait, what does that mean? Like, because sometimes we say, like, well, Paul did murder Christians, or at least try to, and like sometimes we can just like be like, oh, Paul was really bad. But Bonhoeffer pushes this idea, like, if you're looking around feeling like other people are worse than you, like you're not on the right track. Here's how it's a really smart guy with nerdy glasses from Germany, so he talks a little differently. Oh, sorry, we're cut off a little bit. But it says, my sin is of necessity the worst, the most grievous, the most reprehensible. This is a guy who gets killed by the Nazis, and he's trying to follow Jesus, right? Like, I mean, like he's a really good guy from like every category that we would put on externals, but he's saying about himself, I'm the worst, most grievous, most reprehensible person. He says, brotherly love will find any number of extenuations for the sins of others. Only for my sin is there no apology whatsoever. So, normally, a normal person who's not trying to follow Jesus, they give themselves all sorts of like, well, I was speeding because of this, and I was a bad dad because of this, and I was rude because of that. And there's all these like excuses about like, I'm not really a bad person, but that other person over there was mean to me or whatever, right? That's the normal way our brain's wired, right? Is to love ourselves. Like, I mean, that's, but when you love your neighbor as you love yourself, there's this idea of like, what if you gave Chad or Precious or Chase or Lance or Linda, what if you gave them the benefit of the doubt? And said, like, well, I bet they're having a really hard day. Or I bet they didn't have the opportunities I have, and this is a really big challenge for them, right? Because we never know what's really going on for somebody else. So it actually makes sense to give them the benefit of the doubt, to think as highly of them as we can. That doesn't mean if someone's abused you over and over, you go put yourself in a position to get abused again. But you don't have to hate them as a monster necessarily, right? Like you can say, like, I need to take some steps to be safe, but I don't have to hate that person, right? Last week I told this story about me having so much malice with this kid, Brian, when I was in like sixth grade. And some of you might have heard that and been like, Jake, like, your stories are just, if you only knew the stuff that I did, if you only knew what got me in federal prison or whatever, right? I mean, I remember talking to somebody I love very much telling me, like, Jake, if you just knew the stuff that I did, like, you wouldn't want anything to do with me. Like, there's some of that walking around Maywood, right? Here's the thing I know about what I did to Brian, though. It's like, that is like dirty, gross, inside condition stuff where you're carrying around hate for multiple years. So petty. And I knew so much better. And that's the stuff. Like, I can see how black some of the stuff I've done is. Like, how dark some of my heart is, right? I can't see. Anybody else could be a jerk. Like, I was a jerk to Brian that way, and I wouldn't know that you're as bad as the guy as I was. But I know, man, that was some ugly sin in me. Even if it doesn't look that terrible on the outside. We're going to get to the forgiveness piece. It's not healthy to walk around just beating yourself up. But I do think a spiritual mature attitude is to realize, like, I really am, without Jesus, I'm a monster. And if you're walking around feeling like, I'm a pretty good guy, but there's some other monsters in the room, like, that's a bad way to be, right? Because it's hard to forgive and to be kind and compassionate like we're supposed to if you feel like, deep down inside, like, I'm not so bad, but they are. It's actually healthier to realize, like, I am so bad and God loves me more than my badness. It puts you in this attitude of indebtedness to Jesus, and I love Jesus. So we look at our sin long enough to realize how bad it is, and then we start looking to Jesus, because he really will love us. If we bring him, like, here's how I am, he'll love us anyways, right? I'm going to go off script a little bit, but like, Christy gave me this super sweet card on Valentine's Day, and it was about how great stuff is, and it was super sweet. But as I read that, like, I had to thank God for, like, thank you that the marriage that we have is like this. Because before I knew Jesus, which was a long time ago, I was a little short kid, right? But as a little, like, second grader, like the age my kids are right now, like, I was stealing stuff and lying and, like, you know, like, there's terrible stuff in me. Like, I was not, without Jesus, I'm not on a trajectory to have a healthy marriage, you know? Like, I didn't earn it, right? It was a gift, right? And it just helps take out your pride when you see, like, man, I'm not good without Jesus. And it puts you in a spot to be less judgmental of other people and realizing, like, I really need Jesus and they really need Jesus, right? So we're gonna turn the speed up a little bit on our sermon here. Here's our next slide. You want maybe take a picture of this? Matthew 18 is this amazing passage. Sometimes with the Bible, we can get ourselves in trouble because we take one chunk of the Bible and we try to do that. But I have this little guy on a tightrope right here because in Matthew 18, there's two different things in tension in those verses. And if you go too far off to one side or the other, you'll probably get yourself in trouble. So the 15 through 20 is sometimes gone to. It's for when a brother sins against you. When somebody that's also a Christian, when they do something wrong against you, what are you supposed to do? And Jesus, we're supposed to forgive them. You guys are on topic. That's good. Yeah, you are supposed to forgive them. But in Matthew, Jesus actually says, you know, if Sean does something bad to me, I'm supposed to go to Sean one-on-one and talk to him about it. Say, Sean, what you did wasn't right. And I can tell you from having been here for a lot of years, that's not people's first step at Maywood all the time. When somebody does something wrong to someone else, the first step isn't always, I went to them and I said right to their face, what you did to me is wrong. But that's what Jesus commands there, right? And then he's got some other steps. What do you do next, right? But then he tells a parable about a guy who gets forgiven an insane debt. In today's money, it would be like billions of dollars. And instead of getting thrown in prison for his whole life and tortured his whole life, the king's like, you know what? I'm just going to cancel the debt. You're free. Forgive it. That same guy who got forgiven, somebody owes him like $50. And he gets that guy and his whole family thrown in prison because he wants his $50 back. When the king hears it, if you need to get scared, if you haven't been scared by God lately, here it is. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed, all the billions. Verse 35, this is Jesus talking. He says, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Get to forgive him. There you go. So it's intense, right? When you start to realize how much you've done wrong, and then you see what someone else did to you, it's not the same. And God's willing to forgive all the stuff that Jake Taylor's ever done. Like, I better walk around forgiving other people. And if you're having a hard time forgiving, at least sometimes I have to go to God and say, God, help me to want to forgive, right? But at least be trying to get God's help to let stuff go with people, right? Okay. Next little slide here is the beginning of Matthew 18. If you want to go to all in context, Jesus is saying, only people that come to me like little kids, they're the only ones that can really accept my kingdom. And then he says, if a shepherd's got a group of sheep, and he's got 100 of them out there, he loses one, he's going to go after that one and leave the 99. And he says, that's how my heavenly Father's going to go after kids, after the little ones, right? Why do I bring all that up? If we all start walking around trying to tell each other, honestly, like, Ken, this is how you sinned against me. Let's have a conversation. And I'm going to forgive Stanley for what he did to me. Whatever, right? I'm just throwing random names out, right? If we start walking around that way, it's dangerous, honestly. It's emotionally dangerous. You're going to get yourself into some messes. You're going to need a shepherd to take care of you. And honestly, if you go into a conversation with someone about, like, this is what you did wrong to me, normally, people psych themselves up with anger, right? If you're letting your anger aside, because the Matthew 18 thing says you're trying to go to actually help your brother, if you go with that sort of attitude, I can tell you, you're going to walk in feeling kind of weak. Like, if you go to somebody and you're like, I want to tell you that you're wrong, but I really care about you and I'm not mad at all, it's a weak feeling to go into a conflict. Like, I'm going to say something you don't like, and I don't have any anger to help me get it out. Little kids are the ones that have to tell the truth and not have any power. Like, that's a little kid sort of dynamic, right? Little kids do tell the truth, and they often don't have any power. Jesus in Matthew 18 is talking about, like, he takes care of kids, right? If we will handle conflict by saying, like, I don't need any power in this, I don't need to psych myself up and flex, but I am going to be honest, and I am going to be forgiving. When somebody hurts me, I'm not going to let them just walk over me. I'm going to tell them, you hurt me and it was wrong, but I'm also going to forgive them. Like, we're going to need a shepherd to look after us, you know? So Matthew 18 has a lot. If you want to go unpack it more, we're going to end with this verse from Paul, these verses in 1 Timothy, and then we're going to do the Lord's Supper. So 1 Timothy, this is Paul talking. It says, here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. If you're here today and you're like, I'm a monster, I've done something terrible, I feel terrible, the good news is, like, Jesus came for you. You are his purpose. You're not just something he's trying to check off a list. You're not just the problem to be handled. Like, Jesus' purpose is to get involved in your life and take you out of that. Paul says, I'm the worst of the sinners, right? Verse 16. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Jesus might display his immense patience. I mean, I can tell you that. When I think about the way I act, I just realize how patient God has been in my life, right? Stick with me. As an example for those who will believe in God and receive eternal life. Next verse, verse 17. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul doesn't just camp out on how bad he is and stay there. It's, I was so bad, and Jesus has shown me so much love. God, through Jesus, has shown me so much love, and God's incredible. So we do need to face, like, how bad our sin is, then we need to move on to like Jesus really loves us and God's incredible, right? And when you're in that spot, then you're ready to speak the truth when people hurt you and you're ready to forgive, right? So we're going to take the Lord's Supper today, and it's about saying, like, Jesus, I want you inside of me. You died for me. I want to accept it, right? So the serve team's going to come up. They're going to come down and help me out. And like I said, if you're this is your first time here, you're welcome to join in with us. But if you've not taken the Lord's Supper before, the basic idea here is you're saying, Jesus, I accept your death, and I want to live life for you, right? So if you're not making that decision, if that's not ringing true in your heart right now, it's not disrespectful, just pass this plate and not take anything. But what's going to happen is when we do pass this out, it's going to be two cups nested together. It's going to be a little cracker in the bottom cup, juice in the top. Take two, and then just wait, right? I'll talk you through kind of what we're going to do. And the important thing in this moment is get your heart right to say, Jesus, I'm paying attention that you died for me. I want to honor that. And Jesus, please live through me. Okay? So the serve team is going to pass things out. Guys, I really respect our serve team. Joseph, when he's coaching them each week, he's always telling them, like, we're not in a rush to pass this stuff out. But I do want to ask you guys, of all the stuff we do, like, this is the most serious time we have ever really as a church. Like, this is a time, it's similar to like, funeral vibe, if that makes any sense. Of like, we're really paying attention, like, Jesus died. Like, that's what we're all focused on right now. So, obviously, like, we've got little ones is great. To be in that service. We love having little ones here. But if you're an adult, like, we want you to be really reverent of just with this time. We really want to honor God right in this moment, give other people a chance if they're still thinking through getting their heart right with Jesus. So please, guys, be reverent, okay? For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. I want us to go to this next slide. We're going to close out with just a really simple blessing on you guys. But this is a verse at the end of 2 Corinthians. It's just about inviting the Trinity, God, the Father, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, into our life. We can't be the church without God's help. If you guys will bow your heads and receive this blessing. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. God bless you all. Go in peace.